Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Green Livelihood, Right Livelihood, Viviendo Verde Ya. I am here with my co-host, Evelina Molina. We are here to introduce just what it is we're doing here with this program, to give you some context of what we intend to focus on and what kind of messages we are looking for to transmit to you, and what kind of economic model we're looking to build, and what kind of economic future, resource future, labor future, and environmental future we're looking to be part of creating. And that's all in this package. Most of, when you look at our podcasts, which are today premiering on January 11th, 2011, hoorah.
Yay.
11111.
Yep.
At 11 a.m.
For those of you that follow 1111, you'll know what that means.
Where we've been going for information and where we've been going for inspiration, and to pass that along to you and bring you the inspiration we're getting is to the cooperative movement. A lot of it is because there's so much happening there, and it isn't just promise. It makes so much sense that it's who knows how promising it is. You know, that's kind of a what are the top 10 most promising economic models of the new decade? Great article. Maybe I'll get around to reading it if it ever gets written. But what we're looking at is something where people get to be part of creating their own local economy and doing that with other people in their communities. On the global level, I mean, I'm talking into a microphone that was put together, manufactured in some global place. It was put together in some foreign country. I'm talking to you over the internet and all of this equipment. It's really pretty amazing when you start looking at how all this works, and where it all came from is a global picture. And using all of that technology to be able to communicate about how to focus on things locally, how to bring things locally. Anyone who's done any reading about the environment and the impacts of the environment on the environment of the global marketplace and on global production and trade sees that some of the byproducts of that are, of course, pollution, resource depletion, exploitation of people to egregious degrees, the depletion of the ocean, depletion of soil, depletion of pretty much everything, depletion of the spirit. What is left to deplete? Not much. So where do we go? Well, you can start within. And once you're within and looking out, there are these other people, but actually a few feet away from you. I know there's somebody a few feet away from me. What can we do together? How can we cooperate? Aha. And create something that's powerful in its implication and functional as far as providing for the things we need in our lives, which not the least of which is community. And there's food, there's productive work, there's making a contribution. That's what we're really all about communicating. And we found some terrific examples of it in Omar Freya with the South Bronx Green Workers Cooperative, with the Go Local Share Exchange. And we'll be finding more examples of that.
Right. And also, in addition to making those connections, the concept of making every person in a place of employment or a place of livelihood a part of every part of it. I really find it interesting that these corporations and businesses having... most of them have the department called human resources. but there's really nothing resource for the humans in that area. It's for the humans that are running that company. So I think it's really taking back our words and really giving them what they need. And to me, the new economy is about the resources that we have as human beings at all levels. And so we're going to talk about and look for and highlight and interview and hopefully inspire and give hope to our listeners to a more holistic view of livelihood. We don't use the word, and we try to stay away, even though we probably will say job every now and then accidentally, but we're trying to stay away from that word because it's pretty mundane and pretty, I don't know, reminds me of no job, Bob, you know. So the concept of a holistic economy that we don't have to be bystanders and victims or pick of the crop. We can actually be completely involved.
Get a job. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Get a job.
So the concept of the new economy that we want to look for and develop and speak to, because if we put the words out there, then it will manifest, it's defined in many different ways. I've heard it as the triple bottom line. I've heard it as the three E's of the new economy, which is the economy, ecology, and equity. I've also heard of it as, I think it's like, those are the three P's, planet, profit, and I can't remember what the third P was. Profit, planet. Well, anyways. Oh, planet, profit, and people. But the concept of a triple bottom line, business and or new economy would be that it offers a schematic framework for the alignment of economic systems and accounting rules with optimal allocation of human and natural resources in the realms of both an individual and collective wealth and well-being. What a concept. You know, how many times do employers even care? Like when they give you your check, do they ask you, are you going to have enough with this to buy food? They don't give a crap. You know, you're going to get paid what you're going to get paid. And if it's not enough, oh, well. You know, it's like,
tough break,
you know.
Well, yeah. Oh. Go get government assistance. And by the way, we're fighting that. We're our lobbyists are making sure you don't get it.
So we're talking about the holistic new systems that have to take the individual into consideration. We have to take the collective, and we also have to take the well-being. That's amazing. It just blows my mind thinking that way. The triple bottom line, which is another version of that, is about profitability, because we do have to be able to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
Sustainability. And I think for a lot of people, that word sustainability is like in the progressive movement, you hear it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody has like different, what is sustainability? It's all different versions.
Right. It can be misused and misunderstood. It can be used in all kinds of appropriate ways that still are misunderstood. I've seen very eco-conscious, sustainable developments proposed in places, in parts of the city, for instance, where putting that development there would cause incredible traffic problems, and actually continue to force people to be having difficulties getting around. Very poor city planning. But yes, the project was sustainable.
So what we're going to do for right now is we found a definition that is the more modern definition, but there's also an indigenous definition of sustainability that was already in practice and in place way before it started being a term used in the progressive movement. So sustainability is sustainable development is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And this was developed by the World Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Native American Indians had a version of sustainability that they practiced probably thousands of years, which is they made their decisions together, and everybody that was affected was a part of that decision-making process. How would it affect seven generations in the future? Right?
Seven generations.
So you've done a little bit. Did you do some research about that?
And there's a question right now about what, you know, Tom Hartman in his book Threshold has a lot to say about concepts like this, about globalization, and also about that concept of the future generations, posterity, and the seven generations forward. Because right now, what we're looking at it, we're sitting in a situation where we don't really know and can't guarantee that there will be enough of anything for seven generations. Certainly not at the rate at which we're consuming.
We don't even know if our generation. We don't even know if one generation, let alone.
Right.
Seven.
We don't know whether even one or two generations further is going to be living on a planet that will be habitable for human beings. So that's really unknown, and that's kind of like the where it is. It's kind of the what is. The what is that we don't really know at this moment what the repercussions are going to be of what's already gone down. The amount of carbon that's been accumulated, the amount of depletion of the oceans, and what the inevitable and already happening global climate change will further cause in the way of further depletion out of the oceans of oxygen-producing algae. You know, I mean, those of us who have looked at that whole global dynamic of carbon versus everything else can see that there are some loops that can be broken that are very life-sustaining, and there are some loops that can be started that are life-threatening on the planet. And we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what the result of that will be. My particular attitude is, because I have been to the seminars of Awakening the Dreamer, Redreaming the Dream, and got that I got to experience in the way that only Awakening the Dreamer was able to give me, that we are really punishing the Earth. I mean, Mother Earth is really getting abused and is really hurting. That's just what our culture has been doing, whether we want to be part of that or not. And it comes down to a choice of, well, are we going to be part of the awakening or not? And if being part of the awakening, what are we going to tell that next generation that we did when we found out and knew and saw what we were doing, what we were part of doing to the Earth? Who did we listen to? What did we do?
Yeah.
What did we take part in? That question will be asked. It will be asked of you who are listening. It will be asked of those of us who are here talking. So, well, okay.
Here we are.
Here we are.
We're telling our future seven generations where we're standing right now and what we're doing. And this program, Green Livelihood, Right Livelihood, Best Livelihood, we hope will be a balance of realism and optimism. We are in a real mess, but this mess could lead to a new hope. And we can't do it without economics. And we have some really promising things going on. It's amazing. You know, we have Kelly, who we featured on our podcast. For those of you that are listening, you can go to our webpage and see her share exchange and the local made local marketplace. We're going to bring on people next week like Melinda Stewart with time banking, alternative forms of currency. Edgar Kahn, the inventor of time banking, actually does talk about the critical role in revitalizing the core economy, and that's what we're really trying to do, to revitalize the core economy of family, neighborhood, community, and civil society.
That's the real human resources.
There it is. That's the real human resources. It's not the office that prints your paycheck, which is usually all, or that fires you or lays you off. And he goes on to say that local communities have a choice. We can wait and hope that this, as I say, it bounces back, this dysfunctional, broken, horrible system that has left so many people in poverty. Reinvents itself, which personally, I don't see any hope there, because how can you expect a solution from the source of the problem? It doesn't work. The other thing is, or we can look around and find ways to mobilize our true abundant human resources, mobilize our communities, mobilize our neighbors, our families, our civil society. So those are pretty much our choices at this point. And I think Dan and I, looking at the picture, feel much more confident in the latter. I don't have any confidence in the traditional, capitalistic corporation system. So hence, green livelihood, right livelihood, best livelihood for the 21st century. Viviendo verde, ya. So what does that mean? Well, we really have to start to look at the bonds between people. That's the core. What do you think, Dan?
Well, the way I look at it, and I agree outlook-wise, and I've talked to a number of people who kind of have been harboring the same viewpoint and just maybe haven't shared it in an eloquent way, but just put in a few words, it's we're all screwed. And at the same time, we are right now in probably the greatest awakening, the most widespread awakening of humanity, of human consciousness ever, bigger than the Renaissance. And I'm stealing this directly out of Awaken the Dreamer, the symposium. What I take from that, and one of the things that I also got my first exposure to in Awaken the Dreamer was the story of Stuff, Annie Leonard's cartoon pieces that so...
Briefly
and very directly and very graphically show
the story of Stuff,
how we get and where we get the things that we consume. Now, yes, looking at that, now I don't have a problem with working in an office, and I don't have any problem with someone else working in an office, and, sure, let the high-rises become sustainable in whatever their own way is and function if they're able to. What I really see coming out of Awakening the Dreamer is that now we are awakened people inside of a corporate capitalism culture of consumption, who have been given this assignment in our lives, this way of contributing in our lives, to awaken others, be part of the awakening, and bring others to that awakening, and at the same time, even though we're inside of this big global marketplace and all the stuff and all the waste and all of the consumption of fuel, the pollution, blah, 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 is to begin to create the structures so that when we hit peak oil and that structure falls apart, when we get to where the next bubble bursts.
When the solar flares bring down the electric grid,
and
we're all ready for it.
It wouldn't even take that. It could be just human action.
That's true.
International human action can bring any sort of consequence. Right. I mean, there's just now, just this past year, there was a discussion publicly about the rogue nuclear bombs that nobody knows where they've gone. Who has them?
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's another.
So, okay.
Who knows?
Now,
yeah,
here's where I'm going with this is. Where I'm going with this is that so that as no matter what happens to those structures that we've been depending on for our consumer culture, that we build, the term would be sustainable, that we build the transition to where we're no longer, we have actual communities no longer depending on fossil fuel, where we have communities that are no longer even depending on the United States dollar.
Yep.
Where the United States dollar, it's a great medium of exchange. I mean, it's fine. It's very handy. It's convenient. But when you lack those dollars, you still have, you have your human spirit, you have your human mm-hmm. resource, and you have the desire to do something and make a contribution, and that's where the transition we're talking about occurs.
Right.
Because even if you don't have a pile of those dollars, there is something that you can do and be given something else in return for it.
Right.
And that's what cooperative economics is.
So as we consider these pools of resources, the bonds between people, some call that social capital, which, again, I don't know how that's connected to socialism, but social capital is a kind of wealth that never runs out. In fact, the more we spend, the more we have. That's pretty amazing, because usually the more you spend, the less you have. Here, you got to spend a lot of this social capital to make more. And what's being born is really far more important and exciting than what's dying away. So for those of you that are listening,
that's inspiring,
and you've lost your job, and you're feeling like, gee, I've been looking for work and nothing's happening. Something is dying away. A system is dying away. And the reason you're not being brought into it is because it doesn't have the capacity anymore. So something else has to break. And hopefully when you listen to the show, we will be bringing the vehicles and the information and the inspiration to help you make that transition, not only psychologically, but that you're much more valuable and your worth is much more than your paycheck that you're not getting, although I know it's hard. But there's ways to meet your needs without solely being dependent, and that's what we're bringing. So we're moving toward a sustainable and a zero-waste economy on Green Livelihood, Right Livelihood. And this program is about that. It's about that hope and that vision and that balance, and that the new jobs or the new livelihoods will not replicate the dysfunctional system that we're being spit out that we're being taken out from. So it will have to truly be green. It can't be, oh, the company uses, you know, anti-chemical products to clean their bathrooms, or the work they do is about saving the planet. They have to provide living wages, or, you know, just take that person's needs into consideration. It has to be emotional safety, have to treat people with dignity, have to share the wealth, you know. So this is an exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it great? It's a very exciting time.
And and I want to speak to that part about if you are unemployed at the moment. And now, what we've been experiencing are boom and bust bubble cycles. And we're experiencing right now in the United States and most of the world, we're experiencing one of the burst bubbles. And there are a lot of people looking for. I've just heard 600 people applying for a job at In-N-Out Burger.
$10 an hour.
For $10 an hour. Now, there are the cycles. Now, I don't know for sure whether the job stimulus activity that's happening in Washington is going to actually do that. Maybe the cycle will be that many thousands more people, millions of people will be full-time employed at something that they were doing before the bubble burst. It's actually less and less likely with time that's the case, that it'll be the exact same work, or that there is what we call a full-time job, and there will be full-time jobs coming back. They may not be, there may not be that many, and they may not pay as well. We don't know how this cycle will work, but what we do see is what I foresee anyway, I'll speak for myself, is I foresee cycles of boom and bust. I foresee cycles of people getting reemployed, going through that same. You could look at it as a treadmill, but it's you know, if the job's available, go work it. You know, you're back in the office.
So you can get laid off again.
To where we can keep where I'm going is that so that we can still, even in that life, even making those choices for livelihood, that we have this, know that we have this option and that it lives and that it's growing,
mm-hmm.
for creating work through cooperative ventures. And that, you know, and inside of cooperative ventures, you know, you still do need to work.
Yep, you have to work.
You need to make a contribution. You do get out of bed in the morning or at night or whatever you choose that your shift is. You still do make a contribution. You still produce something that others can use. I mean, all those principles still apply. It's not like it's total welfare forever.
Yep.
And not that really most of us would want that. We're talking about wanting to have productivity and full utilization of human resources that we just talked about, that are community resources.
Yeah. So just a little preview. We have a interview that we've done that's up on our website with Omar Freya, who is starting a worker-owned co-op incubator. Is that what it is? That's right.
It's right. A boot camp.
For people that want to start or participate or be a part of a worker-owned cooperative. And also
Worker-owned,
yes. also, we are going to be, next week's show, we'll be interviewing Melinda Stewart with the Sonoma County Time Bank, of which I and Dan are already beneficiaries of. Personally, myself, I needed a computer for our new little school, and so I went on the Time Bank, and I found somebody that's willing to donate a computer and put in time to program it. And in exchange, we're going to do some work in her landscaping and gardening with our students. So I got a need met without money. Dan's going to use a van that he needs to move that's in the Time Bank for availability. And so, you know, it's starting. Yeah, we're getting a few things met. And as the Time Bank family gets bigger and bigger, we'll have many more services that we can give and take and get some of those. Maybe not get everything need met, but we'll get some things met. So that's the kind of things we have coming up. And in the next part of our show, we'll have Chris Oseguera, the co-founder and the executive director of the North Bay Institute of Green Technology, who is presently preparing underserved at-risk youth ages 18 to 25 for green jobs. And so he'll be talking. Dan, I believe you will be interviewing him.
Mm-hmm.
On
that's
that.
Right.
And so... so there's a lot of really great things happening. Yay!
Yay.
So don't be discouraged. There's a lot of, you know, the old is going away. It's dying away. Let's just get ready for the new. Don't give up. And stay, you know, tune in to our Green Livelihood, Right Livelihood, Best Livelihood show, Viviendo Verde Ya, which will also be rebroadcasted on two of our local radio stations, KBBF 89.1 FM. Want to thank them for helping us get the word out. And also KOWS
107.3. Cows.
In Occidental. So I think we need to sign off and actually introduce the next part, the segment of our show. So thanks for tuning in and tune in weekly. And thanks for subscribing and following us. And... stay tuned for the great things that are on its way in the new economy.
Thank you, listeners. Enjoy.